have a seat. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. So, like maybe many of you, I've been watching a little more Netflix than normal lately. I don't know if you've gone down the comedian rabbit hole on Netflix yet, but I've gone pretty much all the way down that one, I think, and got to watch a lot of Jim Gaffigan. I don't know if you guys have found him or enjoy him. He kind of cracks me up, makes me laugh a lot. One of the things, he has this bit where he talks about holiday traditions. He talks about the fact that holiday traditions, when you think about it, are kind of just backwards and weird. And I mean, genuinely, they are pretty funny, right, when you think about it. One of the things he says is, you know, isn't it funny? We go outside, we get a tree, we bring it into our house. And then we take all of our lights and we take those outside, put them up on the house. I mean, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. But I was kind of thinking about that, and I really did think it's a good question to ask at Christmas. Why do we go through all this trouble? Like, what's the big deal? Just at my house alone, over the last several days, we've done a few things. Now, my sons are not young anymore. They're 17 and 20. 20, you guys. I can't believe I have a 20-year-old. That's a whole other thing. But anyway, 17 to 20, and we decorated cookies at my house. Now, I mean, you can't get a 17-year-old and a 20-year-old to decorate cookies, right? But you can at Christmas. And they're going to jump in on that. So we're going to decorate cookies. We also made gingerbread. So Joy has this recipe that's been passed down from her grandmother to her mother. And so we made the homemade gingerbread at our house. I mean, you know, all kinds of great stuff. And then we did all the things, decorating the tree, the lights, all that kind of stuff. Why do we do that? And then you come to church, right? You come to church this time of year, there are certain things that you are expecting, right? We're going to sing certain songs this time of year, and if we sing them at another time of the year, you're going to be going, why in the world are we singing these songs? But if we sing them at this time of the year, now, I mean, they're still true, right, at other times of the year, but we sing them at this time of the year, that's good. I mean, isn't it funny? The world is filled with Christmas albums, but there's no Thanksgiving albums, right? I mean, why? I don't know. It's just our thing, right? This is when we focus in. And then other things at Christmas. We have certain passages that we preach or we study. And then we have the Advent wreath, kind of the centerpiece of this time of year in our traditions. And so the Advent wreath, for those of you who may be unfamiliar, is a wreath that has four candles around the edge and then one in the middle. And so those four candles represent the gifts that we get from Jesus, hope, peace, joy, and love. And then in the center, we then have the Christ candle. And later on tonight, we're going to light that Christ candle. So here's the question. Why? Why do we go through all this trouble at Christmas and no other time of the year? What's the big deal? Well, actually ties back to that Advent wreath. I want to read two verses you wouldn't normally hear at a Christmas Eve service, but I think if you'll hang with me, it'll make sense. Revelation chapter 22, verses 20 and 21, actually the two last verses in the entire Bible. It says this, "He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen." You see, the Advent wreath ties to that. Now, you may not know this, but the Advent wreath, the word Advent means coming or arrival, showing up. It's all about the fact that God is showing up in the person of Jesus, and we celebrate that at Christmas. But the Bible says that there will be one day a second advent, a second arrival, a second coming of Jesus. And that second arrival, that second coming, will take place in a very different way. So the first arrival, the first advent, the first coming, we have this infant king. But in the second arrival, we have the righteous warrior judge king. And that's what we read about. Now, if you're not familiar with the Bible, let me just sort of set the scene for you. The Bible says that there will come a day, sometimes it's called the day of the Lord in the Bible, when Jesus will return and he will judge everything. And the standard by which he will judge everything is, get this, himself. You know, Jesus is perfect. That's quite the standard. Speaking of judging, just a couple of days ago, we actually had a gingerbread house-making competition in my house. So we paired up. Joy was with Ben. I was with Drew. We decorated these gingerbread houses, and a tragedy struck while we were decorating the houses. Mine and Andrew's house collapsed. Like, I mean, it just fell in on itself. So if you look at the picture here, you can kind of see we basically had to just make something up. So that's why our gingerbread house has a helipad on the left side of the house there. And we strategically placed gingerbread men that apparently are missing eyes. We placed gingerbread men and a cookie wreath strategically to hide as many of the flaws as possible in our gingerbread house. But it wouldn't be a real competition if we didn't have a moment for it to get judged. So we took this picture and we texted it over to my mom. We said, "Mom, which house is the best?" And I'm sad to report that my own mother voted against me, right? Now, I mean, of course she's right. I mean, our house had fallen apart, had all kinds of problems, and we get it. You know, we kind of laugh about that kind of judgment, right? And we even like it whenever other people get judged, right? Whenever other people have been mean to us or rude to us or hurtful to us, when they get judged, we like to say, "Yeah, they had it coming. You bet. They deserve it." You know what we don't like? When we get judged. You know we don't like it? Because most of the time we already know what's wrong with us. We just don't want you to say it out loud. You know, you have an attitude problem. Oh, you can shut up, right? We don't like that kind of stuff, right? We don't like it whenever people point out our flaws. Think about how odd and painful it will be on the day that you stand before Jesus and you compare your own life to his. Talk about judgment. See, here's the funny thing about that is some of us tend to judge our own lives compared to one another. So you might say, "Well, you know, I'm comparing my life to Steve." And you might say, "Well, I'm better than Steve." Or maybe you'd say, "Well, I'm not as good as Steve." And I don't know the answer to that at all. But you see, that doesn't matter in the Bible, because what matters is you compared to Jesus. In fact, did you know that Johnny Cash, none other than Johnny Cash, wrote a song about this moment towards the end of his career? He wrote a song called "When the Man Comes Around." Here's some lyrics. "There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around." Who's the man in this song? It's Jesus. Now, we don't tend to think of Jesus as the man, but he is the man. At Second Advent. Now, you're probably sitting here going, "I thought this was a Christmas service. I mean, like, when are we getting to the happy and the fun and the joy?" Well, hang on. The reason I'm telling you all of this is that you want to know why we sing and we decorate and we feast at Christmas. You can't appreciate it till you know this. Till you know that you supposed to face, that you are supposed to face judgment, that you're supposed to be cast away from God because you fall short, that you are not righteous. Until you know that, you can't appreciate the first Advent. So God looks down on humanity and knows that they do not live up to the standard, that they will fail, that whenever judgment day comes and all of the earth is judged, that whenever that day happens, he knows that every person will fail the test. There will be no one who will pass. And so he rescues us. They just sang that, right? We sang, "He came to save the world." That's what the Noel is all about, that he came to rescue. You see, whenever Jesus shows up on the scene as a baby, let me explain to you why that's significant. Why didn't God return as a hippopotamus? Why didn't God come as a palm tree? Why? Because humanity, according to the scripture, is the capstone of creation. Only one creature is created in the image of God. Only one creature is worthy of full relationship and redemption. Now, the Bible says that all things will be made new, but only humans get to reign with God. In fact, if you read the Bible, you'll see that humans who are redeemed go from a little lower than the angels to above the angels. Only humans get that. So God becomes flesh in a babe. That's why it's called the incarnation. Incarnation, that Latin word in the middle there, carne, meat. You know that. You go eat Mexican food, right? God con carne. God with meat. That's what Jesus is. You can see who God is in the person of Jesus Christ. And he does that so that you'll know that humanity is the apple of his eye and the thing he wants to redeem more than anything else. But that's not all he does. He then lives a perfect sinless life, and he does that to show you the way to live. And then, having lived a perfect sinless life, he allows himself to be sacrificed. Don't have time to go into all of this tonight, but Jesus, after having lived a perfect sinless life, looks at you and at me, over all of human history and says, I don't want them to face the judgment that they are due. And so, somehow, and I don't totally understand this, but the Bible is clear. For those who place their faith in Jesus, my evil, my sin, your sin, everyone's sin is placed into the body of Jesus Christ, and then his body is crushed. He is treated as if he is evil and criminal. He dies with your sin and my sin within him. And somehow, and again, I don't get this, his goodness, his holiness, his righteousness comes on me if I place my faith in him. But it doesn't even end there. So it's not just incarnation and crucifixion. There's also resurrection. Resurrection. Let's talk about that. Resurrection in the sense that after Jesus dies, we don't know exactly where he goes, right? The Bible isn't super explicit on that point. We just know that he descends to the grave. But somehow what he does between the moment that he dies and the moment that he's resurrected 3 days later is that he wages war against spiritual death, and he wins. And he wins meaning that he conquers Satan and death in such a way that those who place their faith in him, they will experience physical death. We'll all experience physical death, but there will be a day when I draw my last breath because I've placed my faith in Jesus. My next breath, I will not experience spiritual death, but I'll go straight into eternal life with Jesus. But it's not just about heaven, guys. It's not just about heaven. It's even about this life. He wants us so badly to experience beauty and power and peace and love now that if you place your faith in him, he empowers you. He fills you with his spirit so that you can live a meaningful, beautiful, powerful life here and now. Do you want to know how much God loves you? God loves you so much that he does not want you to face judgment. That's why the Bible says he desires none to perish. And he loves you so much that what he did was he created a path for rescue. You want to know how much God loves you? Look in the manger. He traveled across space and time and became a baby. You want to know how much God loves you? Look on the cross. He took on torment and anguish and pain for your forgiveness. You want to know how much God loves you? Look into the empty tomb and see that he conquered spiritual death so that you could live forever. You want to know how much God loves you? Look into your heart and see the spirit that he gives and indwells within you so that you might have eternal life and powerful life here. This is how much God loves you. God loves you so much that he does all of this so that you don't have to be judged. You know, for many of us, 2020 has been difficult. It's been dark. It's been painful. It's felt isolating or depressing or maybe unsuccessful. I don't know what it is for you, but this is what I do know. God doesn't want you to feel that you're walking through the darkness alone. He has stepped into it so that you can be given power to live now and the promise of life forever. In the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 4, the Apostle Paul writes, and he says this. He says that God's kindness is intended to lead us to repentance. What that means is that God treats us with kindness while we're alive, so that we will then repent, turn from our evil, from our disbelief, and we'll turn towards him. He's kind to us. Here's the problem with kindness. Sometimes people take advantage of it, right? As a dad, this happens to me sometimes. I can be kind to my kids, and my kids think, oh, well, dad's just a pushover. Part of being a dad is like that, right? You say, I wouldn't do that if I was you. I really hope you won't do that. And sometimes they listen to you, and sometimes they don't. Kind of that way in my own job. Like as a pastor, I stand up here on a regular basis, and I would say, I wouldn't do that if I was you. And sometimes people are like, maybe you don't know. And they go do whatever they want to do. And here in the Bible, this is what's happening. God is being kind to us. He is sending his son. And he is saying, I don't want you to face judgment. I don't want you to be crushed. I don't want you to be broken. And because of those things that I don't want you to experience, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to show you my kindness and give you my son. Here's the question. Are you presuming on the kindness of God? Are you taking advantage of the gift that he's given? Now, here's the truth. I don't know the answer to that, Only you do. Some of you are here and you're like, no, I fully celebrate Christmas. But others of us, we're just here because it's cultural. You know, everybody goes to a Christmas service, or maybe your family makes you go to a Christmas service. Here's the thing. My goal this evening is that if you leave this room or you turn off that screen, you don't leave here until you are ready to truly celebrate. And you want to know why we feast and we make cookies and gingerbread? You want to know why we exchange gifts? You want to know why we sing joy to the world? The reason we do all of those things is because we deserve death, but God rescues us. That is Christmas. So here's what I want for you tonight. I want you to not presume on the kindness of God. I want to invite you to come to a place of faith. And I think there's kind of three different groups of us here in the room tonight that need to really respond at Christmas. Group one, some of us kind of have this general idea of who God is, but we've never really placed our faith in Jesus. And I want to invite you to do that tonight. I want to invite you to really know him, to have a relationship with him. So here in a second, we're going to put a number up on the screen, and I'm going to invite you to text the words, "Know Jesus." I want to know Jesus to this number, and you're just saying, I'm ready. You know what? I'm ready to truly celebrate Christmas. I'm not going to just have Christmas as an idea or a concept or even just as a day off, but I want to celebrate Christmas because I recognize that God wanted to deliver me from judgment. I want that for everybody. So if you've never done that, I would invite you to do that. Secondly, some of us have already done that, but you know what we haven't done? We haven't followed through with the first command given us, the first step of obedience, and that is to be baptized. Now, let me explain why that matters. Baptism is where you move from believing in your heart to telling the world. Some of you are like, well, I could never be a preacher. You know the best sermon you can preach? Get baptized. Your friends and your family, your church see that, and they say, that's somebody who is ready to follow Jesus. So, some of us tonight need to decide to follow Jesus in baptism. So, on the back of your chairs, if you're in this room, on the screen here in a second, there's going to be a QR code. And what I want to challenge you to do is to take your phone and to scan that QR code, and it's going to take you to a site where you can register for baptism. So, two things to do. First thing, you can know Jesus. You could text to say, I'm ready. I want to take the step, and a team member will help you. Others of you, you scan that QR code. You say, I'm ready to be baptized. The first Sunday of 2021, Fresh Start Sunday, we're going to have baptisms for anybody who signs up tonight. So you're ready to be baptized. You can sign up for that. We're going to move forward in that. But there's another group of us that I may be worried about a little differently tonight. I think that for 2020, some of us have just kind of, the wheels have shot off. Right? Some of us got angry and bitter in 2020. We got angry and bitter because of politics or news media or relationships went sideways because of divided opinions. And we're just kind of embittered right now. And I want to challenge you, if you're someone who walks with God, but you've allowed 2020 to embitter you, to allow your heart to be tenderized and to repair the relationships that you need to repair, and to move into reconciliation. Others of us, you know what happened in 2020? We just kind of lost our mojo. We got out of rhythm. We got out of sync. And you know what we did? We just rebelled. We stopped doing all the things that we normally do. We stopped walking with the Lord. We stopped being good to our family. We stopped living the life that God wants us to. And I want you to hear this. The beauty of Christmas is God reaching down to you and saying, come back to me. So if you've had a 2020 that has been filled with anger and bitterness or rebellion, Christmas is a moment where you can say, you know what? I'm coming home to God. Doesn't matter what you've experienced, but you can say yes to him tonight. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to pray. And I'm going to ask God to show everybody in this room, everybody out on the lawn, everybody who is streaming this online, just for God to show you how you need to respond. And I want you to do so. Father, we pray tonight. Show us how we need to say yes to you at Christmas. If we need to say yes to you for the first time, that we would text into that number, that we would commit. Say, you know what? I'm ready to believe that Jesus is God in flesh and that you're ready to save me. Some of us, Lord, we need to say, it's time for me to be baptized. I need to stop putting it off, and I need to step forward and do it. And Father, for others of us, we need to say, I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to rebel. I'm coming home to you. And God, I pray that anything that needs to happen in this room or anybody watching this service right now, Lord, that your Spirit would just move and you would speak to them. And God, give them this moment where they know that you're speaking to them. And Lord, then give them the courage to tell somebody, to say, I did this tonight. I took this step with God. And Father, we pray that we would celebrate Christmas in the real way. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus, the gift, the one who came to save the world. Amen. Now, Christmas changes us. Christmas absolutely revolutionizes our hearts and our lives, because once we realize that we deserve judgment, but we get life, we're blown away. And it makes us do crazy and different things. And one of the things that it makes us do is it makes us different with our money, makes us generous. And every year at Christmas Eve, we take a special offering. We call it the Big Give. And so we do different things each year with that money, but we have a very important and special thing we're doing this year. 3.5 years ago, this church was basically destroyed by Hurricane Harvey. Our campus was. And literally, dozens of churches sent hundreds of volunteers and gave thousands of dollars to help us rebuild. This year in 2020, Western Louisiana has been ravaged by hurricanes. So we have adopted 5 churches in Western Louisiana, basically the Lake Charles area. And we want to pay forward what so many did for us. We want to help rebuild their buildings. We want to help serve. We're sending volunteers. And we're asking for your help tonight. Help us be generous. In the same way that God has given us life and generosity, we want to invite you. Join us. We're asking everybody here tonight to give towards this Big Give so that we can be generous towards these churches. So here in a moment, what we're going to ask you to do is to give. You can give on the app, our church app. You can give online, hnw.org/give. You can drop a gift in one of the containers on your way out, whatever makes the most sense for you. But we're asking everybody to give something, even if it's a small amount, because giving is what will make a difference for these churches. So I'm going to pray right now and just ask God to show us how we ought to give and how we ought to respond, and then I'm going to ask that we would do that. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we pray that tonight, in the same way that he's taught us this radical way of living, this generous heart would invade our heart. And Lord, that tonight we would then decide that we would be generous people. Lord, show us how to give, how to respond. And Father, let us do so in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to this week's sermon here at Houston Northwest Church. Our vision is to make Houston more like heaven by helping Houstonians like me and you become more like Jesus. Now, if you have any questions about following Jesus, or you made a decision today to give your life to him, please let us know. Text KNOWJESUS to 281-946-6500. Connect with us throughout the week at hnw.org. And again, thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we cannot wait to see you again next time. Peace.